and appreciate the preaching we've already had this week. And brother, you come and preach what God's laid on your heart.
I try not to make him wince when I shake his hand, you know, because I know that I don't want him crying in front of everybody, you know. Well, I tell you a story. My brother and I are always doing something to each other. One of us are going to get killed one of these days. And one time he dropped it. We were playing golf, talking about golf, and he dropped a tee from the cart on the ground. And when he bent over to pick it up, I goosed the cart and I ran him over. Ran up on his leg. Oh, you broke my foot, you know. He's still whining about that. That's been 10 years ago. He's still crying. That's a good night. You know, once you grow up, stop, man, you know. So, yeah, praise the Lord. So he always talks about the things we've done growing up. I said, that's just all the payback for the stupid things you've done with me, amen, all these years. Yeah, I am the older brother, so I'm the better-looking one, the smarter one, you know, the tougher one. And he said, how many times did you knock me out in my life? I said, I don't know. I don't know if I ever did, but I sure tried a few times, you know. We used to fight, man. We'd fight. But, boy, if you picked on one of us, you better look out, because the two of us are going to get you then, you know. But we grew up pretty rough. But I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for being here again this week and tonight. And I want to preach a message to you on the book of 1 Peter tonight, if you want to take your Bibles and turn there. 1 Peter in chapter 4. 1 Peter in chapter 4. And maybe a different title for this message might work, but I'm going to, it's titled to me, it's Glorifying Christ's Name. It's glorifying Christ's name. We're glorifying Christ in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, amen. And so if you would just take a moment and stand with me when you get there, 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12 through verse 19, verse 12 through verse 19. He says this, Beloved, think not it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, well, that's an important thought right there, amen. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with at us, what shall the end of them be? Or of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Father, thank you again for your word tonight, and I pray you'd use this to speak to our hearts, Father, that you be honored and glorified now, lift up upon high. And Father, help us to be reminded, Father, of things that we go through in our lives, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you, Father. We give you the praise and thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. And I want to think about a few things through here. I'm probably not going to preach everything I have in my notes, because I think I preached this back in 1985, and I don't know if I've preached it since then, you know. Have I? Well, you're going to hear it again, amen.
I took no notes.
Well, I'm glad. Well, you're going to get something new, because I've been over and added some stuff to this today, amen. So, praise the Lord, man. I'm glad to hear that, amen. I told you you're going to get a repeat this week, probably, because I don't have it in my notes. I lost some things. I don't know what happened to them. But, so this just means Tracy really needs it, amen, if I do it, amen. Over in the book of, here in the book of 1 Peter, again, chapter 4, look with me, if you will, verse 12, in the first part of verse 14, where he says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire of trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And then in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So reproached for Christ, as though, he says, don't, as though some strange thing has come upon you. Otherwise, there hath no temptation taken you, in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation taking you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so no matter what you go through, it doesn't matter what it is, that we may be able to bear it. Now here's the thing. Some people say, Mike, you don't know what's going on in my life. You're right. But you don't know what has gone on in my life neither. But if I don't think, usually if we can't bear it, it's not because it's a trial that we're going through because of God. It's because of something that we put ourselves through because of wickedness. And so, brother, if I'm going through something, trial in my life because of my sin, it's going to be a whole different ballgame than if God's allowing me to go through a trial from Him. And so, and when God tries us, He does not, can I tell you this? When God tries you, it's a testing. He says He tempteth no man with what? With sin. So when you're tried with sin, that's not from God. He said he tempteth no man. He tempts no man with sin. Who does that? The devil. The devil will bring that your way. The devil will try to cause you to walk away from God. But or your flesh. Sometimes we blame things on the devil that really we just have not dealt with spiritually as believers in Jesus Christ. And then we go off on the deep end, and then we're in a mess. And then we say, you know, God hasn't kept His word to me. You know, I'm being tempted. I can't put up with this anymore. No, my friends, because the sin that's always got to be dealt with in your life and my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And he said, yet without sin. You know, I realize Peter's talking to Christians who've been scattered abroad here in this text. Believers, Jewish individuals have been scattered out that believe in Christ, and some of them are under great persecution. But we ought to be able to apply this to our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. God, I tell you, there's going to come a time in our country, Pastor, and you know as well as I do, that we might suffer great persecution. We have no idea what great persecution is yet, amen. We have no idea, no matter what happens in our government right now, we have no idea what great persecution can be. We have no idea until it's going to happen to us. And boy, I believe it could happen before Jesus Christ comes. It might not. We might not go that far, but it could happen before He comes. We could go under some great persecution in our time in the area. I like a commentator put it this way. He said, though our trials be hard, they are designed only to try, not to ruin us. Only to try, but not to ruin us. Amen. The God's trials in your life are not to ruin you. Sin ruins you. God will not ruin you. God will strengthen you and help you to go through anything that you can be tested by in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Trials are used to show our sincerity, our strength, our patience, and our trust in God. Amen. What we do, our end of this is that we might put our trust and faith and rely upon Him to give us the strength and the patience to go through it. Our trials are used to build us, not to destroy us. They're used to build us in our faith to God. Amen. That's what the trial is to do, is to help you build as a believer in Jesus Christ and your faith towards a holy, righteous, pure, loving God. He says in verse 14 of this text again, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. He said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus rather, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle, that He might make you perfect. The whole purpose for your growing in grace as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you might be complete in your Christian life as a child of God. That's what God's plan is for you. That's what God's plan is for me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Now, we know that you're not going to get denied your salvation. I mean, you got salvation. And so I've always struggled with that, Pastor. What's he mean if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Amen. It might be the fact of just my works. I'm not going to get any rewards because I'm not trusting Him and walking with Him the way that I ought to do. So when somebody else is there, Pastor, you and I could be standing side by side in glory, getting our rewards, and you might get some. I might not get any, you know. And so that might be the thought that I'm drawing on that, because we know that He will not deny us in our salvation. Amen. Amen. He can't deny any salvation because of His word. So we can't be talking about salvation, but I believe you maybe can be talking about our rewards. And we're going to be denied some things because we have not done it God's way, the way He wants. And we, when we suffer, we don't give Him the glory. We don't give Him the honor. And sometimes when we suffer because of our sin, we don't deal with that and take it back to God and do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, we need to know that we need to glorify the name of Christ in our trials, our difficulties, and our hardships. But not only that, look at with me again back in the text, and we looked at verse 12 and verse 14, but look at verse 13 with me. But let's read verse 12 again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. You ever rejoice when you're going through a difficult time? It's hard to do, isn't it? Amen. But He says, but rejoice. Rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. He says, inasmuch that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That we might rejoice that when it's all over, when it's all done, and He reveals Himself, man, it was worth it all, as the song says, amen. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of here's their face. Well, all sorrow will erase, amen. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. But it'll be worth it all, amen. I can't wait that day until I get to see Jesus Christ face to face. And we need to rejoice even though we're going. Sometimes some things are hard to rejoice over. I'll tell you, I know it. We've been through some things. And some things are hard to stand back and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this. I'm glad I'm going through this. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. Amen. But we are still to rejoice. Amen. And, well, I tell you, you say, how's that work for you, Mike? I just learned whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. And whatever state God puts me through, brother, therewith to be content. And if I'm putting myself through something, then I need to confess that as sin, that I might be content in Jesus Christ, that I might have things right with Him. Because there's been some things I've gone through that had nothing to do with God trying me, and had nothing to do with the devil trying me, but it had everything to do because I wanted my way. Amen. I just wanted the flesh, man. The flesh sometimes is so strong that we give in to these fleshly things, these thoughts, you know, these things that will just destroy a church, or destroy a family, or destroy a home, or destroy the kids, or destroy your relationships. I mean, just we'll do some things sometimes because we want what we want. And God says, wait a minute. That's not going to be for you. And I'll tell you, when we go through those things, I want to tell you what, my friend, it's hard to rejoice because I'm doing it and the Lord has nothing to do with it, amen. But I need to confess that and deal with that as sin, just like if the devil's tempting me and I give in to something. Let God have His honor. Let God have the glory. Look at James. Let me go forward to you. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into diverse temptations, different temptations. When he said, count it all joy. Well, I don't know. Maybe next time you start to go through something, say, well, glory! Amen. And just kick the devil in the teeth. I don't know. I'm just saying, give it a try. Amen. I have no idea. I know when I'm feeling down, I'll start singing songs. Amen. And I'm not talking about singing Johnny B. Goode or some old rock song. I'm talking about singing some good old Christian hymns. Amen. And I don't know a lot of them. Most of them I do know. I put my own words in there. Amen. And my family sometimes will tell me when I'm singing in the bathroom, if I'm by myself, I'll be singing. My son will be down there. My daughters will be down there. Or my wife will be down there. And this is what I would hear. Dad, honey, dad, father, those words don't go with that song. And so the Bible tells me to sing my song. It's my song, so leave me alone. Amen. Just shut up. Amen. It's my song. Let's sing it how I want, you know. So I got three or four songs going on with one tune, and none of them fit that tune. Amen. So don't ask me. I make up my own tune sometimes. Amen. I'm just simply saying we need to rejoice when we're going through different things. When I'm going through some hardships, just turn on some good Christian music. Amen. And listen to some good Christian music. Read your Bible. Because, boy, that will help you get through. That'll help and show you if it's you or if it's the Lord or if it's the devil tempting you. Amen. You'll be able to tell the difference, let me tell you. Because God will not tempt you with sin. I like that promise. Because why? He can't do it. That's what the Bible says. And God what? God cannot what?
Lie.
He cannot lie. So what he says in his Bible has to be true. And if you don't believe that it's true, then how can you believe that Jesus really died for you? Amen? I believe the whole Bible. Not just the part about Jesus' death, but every jot and tittle. Amen? I like Don Merritt used to say that, I'm so narrow-minded, yeah, about an inch and a half right there. He says about how narrow-minded I am. Amen? Some of you remember Don Merritt. Some of you didn't know him, but most in this room did. Or then he would say this. He said, Brother Mike, he said, I'm so stinking narrow-minded. I can look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time and still see a straight line. I said, that's pretty narrow-minded, Brother Don. Amen. He said, he'd get up in the morning and he'd say, Brother! Amen. He'd always get you going. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. 1 Peter in chapter 4, but go back to chapter 1 just for a moment. And look at verse 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Just some difficulties, some hard things, some things you're going through, because these are Jews scattered abroad that are born again believers about. Amen. I'm thinking of Brussels sprouts. Amen. Amen. He says, they're scattered all over the place. He said, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. He said, but wherein ye greatly rejoice. And look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith may be much more precious than of gold, that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, some of you, And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of you have been through some things in your life as a believer that you just maybe wondered if you were going to make it through the other side. Amen. And that was me. You don't have to put up your hands. I'm just simply saying some of us have been there. And some of it, when it happens, sometimes we think, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Amen. And I have to, when it happens, Pastor, I have to examine if it's me or if it's the devil tempting me, or if it's God bringing me through a trial. Amen. And so I know if it's dealing with sin, it's not God. It's either the devil or me. Amen. It's either him tempting me with it or it's me giving in to it. But I still in my mind, I have to examine myself through the Word of God and prayer to God and seeking God's face and asking Him to help me see where I'm at in my Christian life, that I might not go off into sin, but that now that I might take joy in what's going on, if I'm being tempted from out here somewhere, or if God's bringing me through some kind of a trial, or if the devil's tempting me with sin, if it's not me and the devil's, boy, I tell you what, I can just rejoice. Because I know that God's in control. Amen. Regardless, He's still in control. So I think we just need to learn to rejoice in a holy, righteous, pure God. Amen. It's worth it all. It's worth it all for you and me. And then we see not just the rejoicing in His trials, but we see some receiving, and this is not a point, but it's just added to it. Amen. But receiving of revealing of His glory. Go to Romans with me for a moment in chapter, Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8 in your Bible. Over in Romans in chapter 8, and I want to look down to verse 17 and verse 18 in Romans chapter 8. And if children, then heirs of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. There's going to be the revealing of His glory in you. in you and you and me when we go through things, amen, and we come out the other side. He says, talking about being tried like as by fire. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when he shall appear, when he shall come, when he shall be here, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When he comes back, amen, we're going to be, when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, we're going to appear with him. They're going to know we're here. They're going to see us coming with him. You say, man, what a glorious thought. The 10,000s of it, 10,000 upon 10,000s will be with him. There's been thousands upon thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people saved in this world since Jesus Christ was here, amen. And then you got the Old Testament saints that believe. Guess what? We're with them, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're grafted in because of Abraham, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm an Israelite tonight, amen, according to the Word of God, brother. Grafted in, amen. How's that work, Brother Mike? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. Amen. Let's just believe the Bible. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. And then those first two verses, three verses before that, it says, if he then be risen with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And what's it mean that we are dead? We are to be dead to the flesh. The flesh ought not to control your life. It ought not to, too many times it's our motivation for something. But it's Christ's got to be our motivation. It's Jesus has got to be our motivation. If the flesh is our motivation, then it's not going to be very long before we get our eyes off of him and we're going in a direction we should not go. And it might not be a big direction. It just might be stepping off the path of one foot. Like the people down in West Virginia when they walk, you know. Because they're on the hillside, amen. I told my aunts one time, I said, you all walk with the limp. I said, why don't you turn around and go to the other side of that mountain? That way you get your legs straightened out the same to each other, amen. And they're both from West Virginia. There's one gone now. There's only got one left. Amen. I still pick on her. She's had a stroke, and I still pick on her. Amen. If I don't pick on her, she thinks I'm mad at her. You know. But you know, I'm just simply saying, my friend, that we need to walk. If we're not walking right, then we're going to be walking cockeyed. We're going to be walking crooked. So he tells you and I, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. We need to give in to Jesus Christ and keep our focus on him 100% all the time, all the time, all the time. And I'll tell you, in today's world, and I'm not making any excuses for anybody preaching, but in today's world, it seems like that's getting harder and harder and harder for our young people, amen, because of the way they are being influenced with everything that's going on around them and everything that's coming to them from the public system. But there's still some strong young men out there, I thank the Lord for them. I've run into some good young preachers, and I don't call Shane young anymore, amen. He's young to me and you, but there's some younger guys I've met younger than him now that are coming on the scene and are good, solid, fundamental preachers, staying right with the things of God. And I don't know how old your son is, or maybe your grandchildren one day, maybe moving into the ministry, brother. What a blessing that would be, amen, because we need a strong younger generation today to move forward. But until that happens, my friend, don't quit. Amen. Don't give up. Don't stop doing what you're supposed to do, being obedient to God, walking with him according to his word, that he might have glory in him because of you. That you're doing what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. We need to make sure that our heart is in a good relationship and a right relationship with him. And then we see there's resting in the Spirit. Look at back in the text with me, chapter 4. And look back at verse 14 again, where he said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. on your part, he is glorified. And so I wrote down here, resting in the Spirit. We have a resting. When we're doing what's right, there he was spoken of, but we are to rest in him. We had his Spirit rests or glory, and of God resteth upon us. The Spirit of glory in God resteth upon us. So there's a resting in his Spirit. When we're doing what's right, doesn't it feel... Do you get a better night's sleep when you're right with God? I do. I still might be up every couple hours, flopping and turning, but I get more rest. I'm telling you, if my heart's where it should be with the Lord, it's good. Have you ever... I'm not going to ask you. No, I will ask you. You ever gone mad, mad at somebody? How do you sleep? Amen. You know, if I go... I can't go to bed mad at my wife. Well, I can, but I ain't going to sleep good because I'm stewing all night long, you know. And especially when I'm right, which is 100% of the time. I'm just, you know... Just saying that. I mean, when you're upset with your wife or your children or something's going on with your family, it's hard to sleep because that's milling over in your mind over and over. That's why the Lord said, be angry and sit not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Because when you let the sun go down upon your wrath, then you're not going to get the rest you need. And then I ask teenagers all the time on that verse, say, what are you going to do? You go to bed hating your mom and your dad. You're angry. You don't mean what you say, but you said it anyway because of the bitterness in your heart towards something else. And then you go to bed. What are you going to do if your mom or your dad pass away in their sleep? What are you going to do with that? I think the Lord's pretty smart when he said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I think he knows what he's talking about there, amen. And that might not be the total application. I know it's not. That can be applied many ways. But that's the way I look at that. Because, boy, we can hurt ourselves if we go to bed angry and bitter and mad, and we're not getting the rest we need, we're not doing what's right. And then if that person who we've had a problem with passes away, you'll never get that right with them, amen. It'll be done over by then. And that's sad. That's sad, but that's what happens in the world today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. By the Spirit, we know that we abide. I know I abide in him because of the Spirit which he has given to me. That's how I know I'm saved, brother. Because my spirit bears witness with his spirit, amen. And my spirit bears witness with your spirit, amen. I mean, I know I'm a born-again believer because of I feel it, amen. I know we don't go by feelings again, but how can you not go by some feelings, amen? How can you not feel right with God when you're right with God, amen? There's a song in there somewhere, preach, you ought to write one, amen. How can you not feel right with God when you're right with God? Just get right with God, amen. I tell you, Ephesians 1:13 says this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I like that verse. That talks about sealing of the Holy Spirit. That's at the moment of your salvation. That's not 10 years up the road or 6 months later like some teach, or you know, you have to pray to get the Spirit, or if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't got the Spirit, or if you don't aren't not healed when somebody laying your hands on your head, then you don't have the Spirit. And I believe in divine healing, brother. I really do. I believe God can heal some people, amen. But it's not because of me, it's because of him, what he's going to do. Not because you spit in somebody's face and blow breath in their face and knock them out because your breath stinks like garlic or something, amen. I'm just saying, we need to get some things right biblically and get back to what the Bible says and teaches us. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are resting in his Spirit. He is in you, and he has a purpose for you and I. Why? That when we go through trials, resting in that Spirit, doing what I need, it's going to help me to be able to go through those difficult times. It's going to help me be able to go through those things. I'm trusting in the Spirit of God. I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I'm trusting in his Word as the Holy Spirit leads me and guides me, and I read to give me the comfort that I need. And he has never, listen, he has never not comforted me when I've asked him, when I got things right with a preacher. He's never not. I know that's a double negative. I don't care. Amen. So he's never not. There you go. No, I got the not in there. Comfort. He's not ever done. He's always comforted me. Always comforted me. Boy, you know, and if I'm not getting comfort, it's because of my relationship to God through the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's because I'm quenching Him. I'm grieving Him. Amen. And he tells us, don't do that, man. Don't do that in your life or my life. Ephesians 4:30 says, tells you and I that. The reason that we can't always rest in the Spirit of God is because our hearts are not always in the right relationship with God. Because there's something hindering that relationship between you and me and God. Amen. When we're not getting the rest in God like we need. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible, just a few pages back. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4. He tells you over in Ephesians in chapter 4. Yeah, let me get myself there. Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me, if you will, down to verse 31 and verse 32, the last two verses of that chapter. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. So, if I'm not being led by the Spirit, you know what? I'm not going to be able to forgive. If I'm not being led by the Spirit, you know what? I'm going to be angry. And I'm going to get bitter. And I'm going to have... You know what malice is? Malice is no matter what happens, no matter who it hurts... I'm gonna get my way, and I'm gonna say what I want to say. I don't care who it hurts, and I'm gonna do what I want. And we do it with a malicious intent. In a criminal system, there used to be a charge that they would charge you with. Sometimes assault and battery would be assault and battery with malice, an intent to do bodily harm on somebody, to hurt them. And so sometimes that malice I look at here is it goes even farther than bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. He said, be put away from you with all malice. Don't do those things with malice in your heart. Don't do those things with, I'm going to get my own way. I'm going to pay back no matter who it hurts, no matter what it destroys. You know, the preacher might be right, but I don't care. I'm going to do my own way and do what I want to do and say what I want to say no matter who it hurts. And well, pretty soon it destroys the house of God. Amen. Now we need to be resting in the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit never leads you to be angry and bitter and wrathful and hateful and full of malice. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's our flesh. That's the flesh. And the flesh will destroy you in a heartbeat. And then we'll look at with me, if you would please, back to the, let me give you a thought here. Number 4, revealing who we are in Christ, or life in Christ, or in the world. Is your life in Christ, or is your life in the world? Is your life in Christ, or is your life in the world? Go to 2 Timothy with me just for a moment in chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, just a few pages to the right in your Bible from where you were. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says this. Now, I'm going to read 10 through 13. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions. Paul's writing to Timothy saying these things. In persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Boy, He will deliver you, I'm telling you, my friend. When you go through persecutions, God will deliver you. Yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say live in Christ Jesus. He said all them that live godly in Christ Jesus. That's why some people, you look at some Christians, and well, don't take this the wrong way, please. And if you don't see a trial in somebody's life, don't walk up to them and say, well, you're not right with God. Amen. But that's why some Christians, though, never go through trials or persecution, because they're not living godly. For instance, if you go to work and you live a godly lifestyle, there's going to be people at work that don't like you. People at work that don't care for you. Amen. And I think if you go to work and everybody likes you, amen. I had some people that didn't like me at work because I always talked to them about the gospel, amen. And when they start cussing and swearing, I turn around and walk away. So I don't want to listen to this garbage. Amen. And well, I tell you, I got some people at work mad at me a few times. I didn't care. Hey, I can always get another job. Amen. It's no big deal to me. I was able to find work somewhere. I cut scrap in the scrapyard in that 75-76 recession that we went through in our country, and in the 77, and I made a dollar an hour, and minimum wage is $3 an hour. Amen. Well, I got a job. Worked in the gas station for the same thing, another buck an hour. So I worked two jobs at a buck an hour to make ends meet until I could get back to work, and another job to pay good money again. Amen. Well, good money. See, good money was $3 an hour. Amen. Good money there was about $7 an hour. But when you were just a laborer, you were only getting $3 an hour, that's all. And if you got a raise, but you were pretty fortunate if you got a raise back in those days. Amen. And when they gave you a cost of living raise, it wasn't like some of the cost of living raises we get today. He said, they ain't that good today, Brother Mike. I tell you, they were worse then. Amen. They were worse back then. He said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. Look what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, boy, he said, you do what's right, Timothy. Yeah, and by the way, that applies to you and I. We just simply need to do what's right as the children of God, as believers in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. In just 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's just look at verse 8 real quick, where he says this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of me, he says. I've done what's right, amen. Might be in stocks, might be in bonds sometimes, might be in chains, might be in prison, but he says, you, it might be in Rome, amen, but I still will do what's right. And he says, you still bear the afflictions of the gospel count according to the power of God. You believe God's powerful? Amen. You believe it? I believe it. I believe, but not just powerful, but he's all powerful. Amen. He's omnipotent. That's our holy God, our God, all powerful. What a wonderful God we have. And then look at verse in our text again, and we're almost done, so you bear with me for a little bit longer here. I only got 20 more points, but not really. But look with me, if you will, down to verse 17 through 19 of our text, where he says, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And watch, if it first begin at us, then what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, by the way, I know I'm not scarcely saved, but I understand what I believe you're saying here. You know, if the righteous scarcely be saved, I mean, if this looks like it's just it's almost impossible for it to happen, and it's not, but that's how some people see it. He said, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator." And I wrote down, restitution will be made, amen. Restitution will be made. The world will pay for what they are doing. And the world will pay for persecuting Christians. The world will pay for what it has done to other nations and the Christians in other nations by imprisoning them and locking them up and killing many of them and just hindering, and even to the point sometimes where they capture missionaries and some have been killed as a result over the years, you know. The world will pay. There will be restitution on their part that will be made. They will not get away with it, my friend. They will not get away with what they do to the church. They will not get away with what they do to the Christian. They will not get away with what they have done to preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in our country. Even in our country. There was a time in our country when if you're a Baptist preacher up in the New England area in Virginia, you get locked up. There wasn't nothing to get for a Christian to get locked up for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what they did then, preacher? You know what they did? They stood at the bars of the jail and they preached. Amen. And they just preached out and they had a gathering of people, you know. And I tell you what, my friend, but people who did that will one day give an answer to a holy God. There will be restitution that will come unto them for you and I. Look with me, verse 19 again. Wherefore, Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as a faithful Creator. And I just simply wrote this down for you and I. Let's just learn to rely on God. Let's rely on God. He says He is a faithful, amen, faithful Creator. Let's keep our souls in Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. God is faithful. Psalm chapter 39, verse 5 and 7 says this. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about that man. Don't worry about the world. You don't worry about any of that. He said, you just simply commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will take care of you. Amen. And then he talks about the world. No matter what the world is doing, no matter how much money they're making, no matter what the wicked devices that they come up with, and I believe some of the wicked devices that they come up with is the internet, amen. I really do. I think cell phones are a wicked device. I really do. I've got one, but I think they're wicked devices. You know, we have so much more problem with stinking cell phones in churches and in homes today. People can't stop without you'll be having a conversation, you'll be texting, amen. The phone will ring right in the middle of something. I see people sitting in church, not reading their electronic Bible, but they're back there texting, amen. And then some people sit in church, and I hear them, I watch them listening to something. And it's not a microphone listening to me preaching, amen, because it don't hook up that way to their system. I'm just simply saying, I think sometimes we've got it backwards, amen. And there's other wicked devices out today. I think the television's a wicked device. Amen. I watch it. Yeah, I watch it. You do too. Amen. I'm just simply saying, but I believe it has become a wicked device. It might not start out that way, preacher, but I know preachers that went and watched TV back in the 50s and the 60s because of a man and woman kissing on a television show and they weren't married. They were two actors. They said, man ain't got no business kissing anybody but his own wife. Amen. She's not his wife. You know who the preachers are. I know who they were. I know who they are. Some of them are my best friends, amen. Even yet today they stand strong. Well, I tell you what, I think some things have become wicked devices in our life. Sometimes, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to stop, amen. Fishing boats could be a wicked device, amen. You have a fishing boat, Mike? Nope, I don't like water, amen. And I don't even like fishing, to be honest with you. I'm just saying some things. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying we need to be careful, amen. Because there's some things that come into our life that if we're not careful, we allow that to change what we need to do. And things that become wicked devices in our life are things that don't please God. Now, you can have all those things and not become a wicked device to you. Amen? That's what I want to see. Don't let that overrule your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7 of that same text, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Just rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Amen. Did He promise you eternal salvation? Did He promise you that He will help meet your needs? Did He promise you that He will bring you through trials? Did He promise you He'll lift you up when you need it? All these promises we have in the Scripture, we just simply need to trust God. Amen? Just trust God. In Hebrews 11:11, he said, through faith also Sarah herself. Man, I like that. Put Sarah in about faith. In faith, even also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Man, I tell you. My mother was in a service one time when I was preaching. She was 85. I said, Mom, they'd be like you getting pregnant tonight. You know? And my dad was in there too. And he just said, it ain't going to happen. I said, but that's what it'd be like. You know? Can you imagine Sarah amongst all these younger women and these men, and all of a sudden she becomes pregnant? You know? Good night. But God promised. Amen. And listen, the same way that God promised her, He's promised you to meet your needs and to help you every day of your life as a born-again believer, saved by His grace. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know where you're at. I know that I preach this different than what I used to. because God has showed me some things different than what I used to hold to. Not necessarily anything wrong, but just different. So I just want to ask you tonight, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. I really don't, and I don't want to know, but I do want to know this. If God spoke to your heart about anything, could I just pray for you tonight? How about right now? Just slip up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Others, anybody else, before I go to the Lord in prayer. But Father, I thank you for these, Lord, hands that I saw raised tonight. Father, I believe everyone here is saved. I pray, though, if someone's not, please convict that heart even yet tonight, Lord, that they might come to their salvation need in Jesus Christ, calling upon Him. But Father, for these that raised their hand about you, spoke to their heart about something tonight, Father, I don't know what it is. I don't need to know, Father, you know. I just pray you help them, Lord, and strengthen them, God, that you may have all the honor and that you may have all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Lord spoke to your heart tonight. I want you to slip out of your seat right now and come on. Just slip out and come on up. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Take it to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Whatever it was you spoke to you about, ask Him to have the honor and have the glory.
Pray an invitation tonight, 57 in that song, will cleanse me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Third verse. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me. Abide, last verse. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Father, praise you and thank you that we can meet on a Thursday night. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for hearts being touched. Thank you for prayers being lifted. Pray again that you touch our service in a special way. Anoint with your presence. Cause again that you bring us back at the appointed time. And we'll praise you, Father, for your hand on each life here tonight. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, for our last revival services.
Yes, I did.